On the first slide, the topic of today's message, which is all about expectations, or even more so, unmet expectations. Like when you are expecting something for Christmas and you get something else instead. Just, you know, maybe you're expecting a basketball and you get a soccer ball. Well, you can be disappointed that you didn't get a basketball, but if someone just walked up to you and said, hey, here's a soccer ball for you, you'd be like, all right, that's great. And so the disappointment that you may feel on that Christmas morning when you're about 8 years old is not based on the gift you receive, it's based on what expectation you have and what you do with that expectation when it's not met. Or for another example, yesterday, well, Jamie and I, we belong to something called Steveson Run Crew. It's like a run club. We meet on Wednesday nights in Steveson. And yesterday, 8 of us from our run club, we went up to Whistler to take part in a relay for the Whistler Ultra. So the Whistler Ultra, it's 80 kilometers, but we were each running 10 kilometers of that race. And so coming in, I had an expectation. This is what it's going to be like. This is the time I'm gunning for. This is what I want to get. And then on the way up to Whistler, Jamie started to throw up. And she kept throwing up all morning long due to a migraine. And so she was really bad. And so we're getting ready for the race. The first person goes out. I'm supposed to do the fourth leg. She's supposed to do the fifth leg. And a little bit before, she goes, Nick, you're going to have to run that leg for me. Because if you don't do it, the whole team gets disqualified, right? So it's got to be done. And so all of a sudden, you have to adjust because it's like, well, if you're running 10 kilometers, you go out at a certain pace and you go for a certain time. But if you go for 20 kilometers, you got to really reduce that pace. And so I had this expectation of coming through the finish line at a certain time and didn't even come close to it. So I have the choice. I can look back at yesterday and say, I'm really disappointed because I expected to cross at a certain time and I didn't. Or I can say, it was amazing. It was awesome. I actually ran farther than I've run in about 4 years. And I was like this good husband. Yes. So that's how I tend to look at it. So it all depends. Our experience of an event, our experience of a church family, our experience with God, our experience in family, a lot of it depends on our expectations and what we do with those expectations. So we can go to the next slide. So we're going through this series, Encounters with Jesus. And today I want to look at what happens when our expectations, and especially our unmet expectations, encounter Jesus, or when Jesus encounters them. And the reason I want to focus on this, for one reason, is because of where we're at as a church family. We're heading, like, as of, you know, the end of September, we're heading into kind of a new season of life together. And anytime we enter into a new season of life as a church, we often have in our head expectations. It will look like this. Success will look like this. We'll know God is moving when this happens. But God tends to operate on his own timetable and to his own agenda, and it often doesn't match ours. So what are we going to do with that? When there is a possibility of expectation, but unmet expectation, if he chooses to act differently. So we are going to look at the next slide. We're going to look at an encounter that happens between John the Baptist and Jesus throughout the Gospels. And we're going to look at an encounter first, and then we're going to look at what happens after the encounter. Because sometimes, especially in our life with God, we have these awesome moments, but after that awesome moment, that mountaintop, what tends to come after? Like if you're walking over a mountaintop, what's the next thing you're going to hit?
Valley.
A valley. Exactly. There would be no mountaintops if there weren't valleys in between. It would just be this plateau. So it's part of going through mountaintops and going through valleys is a natural part of our journey with Jesus. And so we're just going to look at how we handle those times when the possibility or the probability of disappointment happens. I'll be honest with you. You can be honest with yourself or not. There have been times I have been disappointed with God. And I, you know, we could say, well, I can't say that because God is perfect and I'm not. And so I should be disappointed with myself, not with God. But no, I'm honest. There have been times when I've gone through seasons of life and I've been disappointed. Like, God, I didn't expect this. Why is this happening? And maybe you've gone through times of feeling a disappointment or a discouragement or even a disillusionment of life with Christ. So how does God handle that, and how do we handle that when we experience those valleys? So let's just read through some scripture here. So we're starting in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him." Let's just hang out there for a second. John the Baptist was the link between God's saving activity in the Old Testament and God's saving activity in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is the link between the Old Testament and Jesus. He is fiery. He calls on all who will listen to repent and change their ways in expectation of this brand new work by God. There's a Messiah coming, and he is going to baptize you with fire. His whole message is prepare yourself. Look for the coming Messiah. Prepare yourself. Expect the Messiah to come. And again, a similar message to where we're at as a church. We're heading into a new season. Look. Prepare yourself. Look for Jesus to be at work in our midst. Look for Jesus to be at work in our hearts. Prepare yourself. Expect him. So finally, Jesus shows up, and John has his first encounter with Jesus, other than that we know of, at least, other than the one when they were still in the womb of Mary and Elizabeth. So let's go to the next slide. We'll continue reading what happens. Verse 13, we're jumping ahead to. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you," he said. "So why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." You go to the next slide. So here we have this great encounter between John the Baptist and Jesus. Jesus is the one he's been expecting, and he recognizes that immediately. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God," as Jesus walks up. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But then Jesus does something that's quite unexpected. He says, "John, I want to be baptized by you." What's John's initial reaction? "I can't baptize you. I need to be baptized by you." Very similar to the reaction of Peter when Jesus says, "I have to wash your feet." "No, no, no, no. You shouldn't wash my feet. I should be washing your feet." John recognizes that Jesus is the mightier one, and he has this "I'm not worthy" kind of response. And sometimes we feel the same way. Sometimes when we have a sense of an invitation from God, maybe just an invitation to come closer to Him, or a sense of a call from God, like God wants to release us into a particular ministry. He just comes to visit us. He just wants to love us, or He wants to call us to something, and we say, no, no, I'm not worthy of that. What does Jesus say, though? In verse 15, He says, it has to be done. We must carry out all that God requires. And so John agrees to baptize Him. Jesus' baptism is the inauguration of His ministry. It has to be done. That's what Jesus says. It has to be done. Just in a similar way that your baptism is the inauguration of your journey with Jesus. Right? That's why God calls us to be baptized fairly quickly after we become followers of Jesus. Because it's the inauguration, it's the symbolism of the inauguration of your journey with Jesus. But we often have this, well, I'm not worthy yet response, or my life is too messy right now. I need to clean some things up. Jesus says, no. That'd be like, we have an election tomorrow, right? So we have this, whether Canada or the States, you know, there's this inauguration ceremony that happens when a person is elected as a leader of a nation. Well, what if that leader said, no, let's wait 3 or 4 years. Let me get into this whole stuff, and then we'll have the inauguration ceremony. Well, it just seems kind of ridiculous, right? Well, it's the same thing when it comes to our baptism. It's your inauguration. It's the beginning. It marks the beginning. So, just a little plug there. If you haven't been baptized yet, but you are a follower of Jesus, you might want to think about doing that. So Jesus says, no, I need to be baptized by you, John. And in doing so, He actually endorses John the Baptist's ministry and message. You know, John the Baptist says, I'm not worthy of this. And Jesus says, hey, you're doing a great thing, and the Father is proud of you. And He wants to use you right now. And the same is true of you and I. You too, are called. We are invited into a relationship to be with Jesus. But we're also called to a mission, to be sent out. You have an invitation, and you have a calling to be with Jesus and to be sent out. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you are called. And nothing disqualifies you from that. Every person has a call, and no person is disqualified from that call, because that call, the qualification, doesn't depend on you. It doesn't depend on our past. The qualification is God's presence in us, God's life in us. And so if you are a follower of Jesus, God the Holy Spirit lives in you, which means you are qualified and you are called into the mission. So what's your call? How does God want to send you out? Maybe He wants to send you out at your workplace. Maybe He wants to send you out as a soccer person, if you play on a team. Maybe He wants to send you out somewhere else. You are called. It is our job to figure out, with God's help and each other's help even, what the calling is. There's never a question of, am I called or if I'm called? You are called. You are called to be with Jesus. You are called to be sent out. And sometimes a conversation with another person can help, because people see gifts and talents within us that sometimes we don't see ourselves. And so if someone knows us really well and says, man, you're really talented in this area. Oh, you have a real gift in this area. Maybe that's part of God's calling and empowering of you. So anyhow, back to John the Baptist. He does what God wants. He baptizes Jesus. Jesus, of course, did not need repentance, but he is identifying himself with broken humanity, with sinful humanity. He's identifying himself with us. So let's just take a moment and we'll review this Jesus encounter right here. There's a John the Baptist who's very expectant. This expectation is met when Jesus arrives, but Jesus does something unexpected. John says, "I'm a worm," and Jesus says, "You're amazing." And John the Baptist probably had this spiritual high for days. The Messiah is here. The Messiah is here. But then something else unexpected happens. Let's go to the next slide and read a couple more passages of scripture. This time we're jumping way ahead to Matthew chapter 11. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah that we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else?" That's a huge leap from what happened at the baptism to now. Next slide. Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." And he added, "God blesses those who do not fall away because of me." Next slide. So what's happening here is later on, John the Baptist is in prison. He is sent into prison by Herod. And during his time in prison, he starts to become discouraged, possibly even disillusioned. What Jesus is doing is not matching with John's understanding of messianic work. There is no political power going on in Jesus' ministry. Jesus' style is very different from John's style of ministry. Plus, John the Baptist is in prison. He is under a death sentence. So he is suffering. And he's there saying, "Why is all this going on if Jesus is who I expected him to be?" And therein lies a huge part of the problem. Because Jesus is the person that John expected. He even said so. "Here comes the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world." Right? So Jesus is who John expected. He's the one he was waiting for. But Jesus is not acting as John expected. Right? John expected a political Messiah to overthrow the Roman government and physically redeem the land of Israel. But Jesus, on the other hand, wasn't focused on that. He was focused not on physical redemption, but on spiritual redemption and overthrowing the power of sin in the lives of humanity. So John's saying, if this guy is who he says he is, that he is going to redeem Israel from the bondage to the Roman government. And Jesus says, "I am who I said I am, but I'm going to redeem you from the bondage to sin." So John the Baptist had an expectation. Jesus did not match that expectation. And John, rather than change his expectation, went from a spiritual high down into discouragement and disappointment and disillusionment. You go to the next slide. Now, there's nothing wrong with having expectations. And there are some expectations, we're going to get into later, that we should hold on to all the time. So there's nothing wrong with having expectations. It's very natural. The problem occurs when we don't hold those expectations loosely, or we refuse to move from them, and we think that we are right and the other person is wrong. Perhaps just perhaps, if Jesus is not matching our expectations, or if our spouse isn't matching our expectations, or if our church isn't, or if our pastor isn't, or if our co-worker isn't, perhaps the issue lies with the expectation and not with the person. So what does John do? John sends his messengers to Jesus. Are you who you said you were, or should we expect someone else? And how does Jesus respond? This is pretty awesome. You can go to the next slide. This is something that I see in the Gospels, and I have experienced in my own life as well. And it's a truth I think we can stand on. Jesus draws near to those who have lost hope. Sometimes we think, well, if I've lost hope, God's just going to be like, you're dead to me. Or he'll be like, come on, you know better than that. But I don't see Jesus act like that in the Gospels. When people lose hope, he draws near. He comes closer. How does Jesus respond to John the Baptist? He doesn't blast John the Baptist. But he doesn't actually answer John's question the way John wanted him to, with a yes or a no. Are you who I expected? Well, yes, I am. No. He says to the messengers, look around and report what you see. Jesus' ministry fulfills all of the prophetic promises of the Old Testament. If only John would see. Sometimes our narrow expectation of how God is going to move and how God is going to work, or how we will encounter God personally, these narrow expectations puts these blinders on our eyes, and it prevents us from seeing the work of God over here or over here. Right? We have these narrow expectations and we just refuse to budge from them, so they're blinders. God's at work over here, but we cannot see it. And so what Jesus does for John and what he does for us is he says, hey, refocus. Look around at what's going on and you will see the work of God. And that's what he says to us often. Take a moment, refocus. Go to the next slide. So in this instance, the problem of unmet expectations was either with Jesus' ministry or John's understanding and John's expectations. And so Jesus helps John shift his understanding. And he also gives John a very mindful and gentle rebuke. He says, John, be open to God's unfolding plan, even if it doesn't exactly match your expectations. And I think that's a great message for us all the time, but especially if as a church we head into a new season. Be open to God's unfolding plan, even if it doesn't exactly match your expectations. God has a plan at work in your life. And he is always unfolding it as we journey forward. Always. But sometimes we're thinking the path is going to go this way. And when it unfolds that way, we're like, okay, God's not at work here because I don't see the path here. And God says, I think, he draws near and says, hey, refocus, look around, and be open to my unfolding plan in your life, in your marriage, in your workplace, in your church, even if it doesn't exactly match your expectations. Go to the next slide. So before we close, let's just kind of walk through all what's happened up to this point. First, Jesus acted in an unexpected way, at the encounter and after the encounter. Second, the way Jesus was did not match John's expectations. And it led to discouragement, and it led to disappointment. In this instance, in this case, the issue is not with Jesus' actions, but with John's expectations. And so Jesus loved him, gently drew near to him, and Jesus said, look, refocus, be open to the work of God, even if it doesn't exactly match your expectations. And this is so important for us. I have had to deal with unmet expectations with God. Like the story I told in Stevenson when I preached this message a couple weeks ago, when my first marriage blew up and my then wife left me and our kids, I was in prayer, my church was in prayer, and I fully expected that God was going to change my then wife's heart. I expected that. I said, this is what's going to happen. This is what I'm looking for. And for 14 months, he didn't. Or maybe I should say for 14 months, she didn't. I'm sure that was God's original plan. But it didn't happen. And then after 14 months, he said to me, not in these words, but he said very plainly to me, change your focus. And I realized that he did have a plan through all of this. And it was a good plan. It was a great plan because he's a good God who loves me very, very much. But I could not see the plan if I had this expectation, and only this expectation being filled would have been evidence of God at work. Because if that's all I had, I would say, God, you're not at work in this situation. But he was very much at work. And it had an incredible ending. And I would have missed it all if I was like, okay, God's not at work. I'm going to do my own thing, I guess. Well, next slide. I think that the first thing we need to do when we have unmet expectations is refocus. And there are some questions here that can help us refocus. Is the problem with the person, or with God, or the circumstance, or is it with my expectation of the person, or of God, or of the circumstance? Another good question is, do I need to hold on to this expectation? Like I said, there are some expectations we should hold on to. I mean, in that example I just used for my first marriage, it is right for me to have an expectation of faithfulness from a spouse. Because there's a promise of that, right? There's a vow to that end. And I shouldn't let go of that expectation. But when that doesn't happen, can God still be at work? Absolutely. So do I need to hold on to this expectation? Some we do. Some we don't. Is this expectation serving me well? Right? Like, is this expectation helping my relationship with God? Or is it helping my relationship with my spouse? Is it helping my relationship with other people? Or a great question that's not on the slide, but a great question you can ask. Is God at work in a way I haven't seen yet? When you have an unmet expectation, when you have disappointment with God, you have disappointment with other people or with the circumstances in your life, a great question. Is God at work in a way I haven't yet seen? That helps us begin to refocus. And remember, these two important truths, next slide, is that no matter what, God is good. And no matter what, God loves you. I mean, that is, those are truths you can build your life on. No matter what happens, no matter what you experience, God is still good. And he still loves you, always. Do not let doubt of either of those two things creep in. Because you will get messed up when doubt comes in. Do not let the enemy sow seeds of doubt about either of those truths. And it might just be, you might be experiencing a terrible, terrible season, and you just might need to proclaim to yourself, God is good and God loves me. You wake up in the morning, God is good and God loves me. I will not move from those beliefs. Even if it doesn't feel like it, I choose to live like it. Amen. Right? God is good, God loves you. This is really important if you are dealing with unmet expectations and disappointments. Don't sway from those two truths. And when you do keep these in mind, it can help us to let go of some expectations into the hands of God. God, I had this expectation. It didn't pan out, and I'm really disappointed. But you're good, and you love me, so I'm going to release this into your hands, and I will look for your unfolding plan, however it is, wherever it is. Your last slide. And so my encouragement to you, and to us as a church, in this season, but in whatever season you're walking through, is to let go of your expectations. I'm going to invite the worship team up, and we're just going to go through a very quick and simple prayer exercise to help us work through some stuff. Let's play. So as the worship team is getting set up, just going to ask you for a moment, just close your eyes, invite you to close your eyes if you'd like to. Just take a deep breath and make some space right now to listen to God.